Today's daf is Menachis daf Chof Dalet, and we are two lines from the bottom of daf Chof Gimel Amid Bey. So if the last two dafin were where Menachis meets Taruvos, today's daf is where Menachis meets Tuma V'Tahira. Says the Gemara, Ki Solik Rav Kahana, when Rav Kahana went from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, we'll see hashtag rest of the story. At the end of the daf, Ashkechinu lived near Rav Chiyo. So Rav Kahana meets the sons of Rav Chiyo. Rav Chiyo lived in Eretz Yisrael, his sons lived in Eretz Yisrael, and Rav Kahana met them, and he saw the Yasvi V'Ka'amri. They were learning Mesechtes Menachis. And they were learning the following halacha, Isorin Shecholku, if the Isorin, that's the shear of a carbon mincha, was divided into two parts, v'inichu bebisa, and it was put into the keli where they used to mix the carbon mincha, but the two parts of the mincha, this is important, were not touching each other. The nagat tful yoyim v'echav yoyim, and then at tful yoyim, somebody that was tummy went to the mikvah, but he has to wait until the sun sets, brachas tapes, before he's able to eat shrumah, before he's able to eat kachin. During that interim period, between the tefillah and Harav Shemesh, when the sun sets, he's tummy, but he's not as tummy. He has a limited level of tummy. He's at full yom. At full yom went, and he touched one of the two halves of the Karban Mincha. The question was, mahu? Does the other part of the Mincha become tummy as well, or does it not? Meaning, that's Pashit, that the half of Mincha that the Tful Yom touched is going to be tummy. The Tful Yom touched it, it's tummy. The question is, what about the other half? Now, Rashi says that the reason the Bnei Rav Chiya were discussing the Shaila with a Tful Yom, not with an ordinary tummy, is because an ordinary tummy, this wouldn't have been a Shaila. Because the tummy would be metame the half of Mincha, which would be metame the Keli that the half of Mincha's in, which would then be metame the other half of Mincha. But being that a Tful Yom's Toma is limited, we don't have to go into the Pratin, but being that his capability to be Metam is limited, that chain reaction wouldn't go into effect. So the only way that the other half of the Mincha would become Tomei is if you say that being the two halves of the Mincha are in the same Keli, so the Keli is Mitzarif then, so that if the Tful Yom touches half, the other half becomes Tomei as well. That was the Shaila. And the truth is, it's a Mishnah, because the Mishnah says, Ki Tanan Kli Mitzarif Masha B'Toich L'Kodesh Hani Mi'Heichi D'Nagi B'Adon. It's a Mishnah that says that a tummy that touches a chelik of something that's in a keli, everything that's in the keli becomes tummy. But the Bnei Rav Chiya weren't sure if that's only true if everything in the keli is touching each other. But in a case where the things are not touching each other, no. Or maybe not. Amalahu. So they asked the Shaila to Rav Kahana, and he told them, "Mi tnan kli mechaber, kli mitzarif tnan." That Mishnah that says that a tummy that touches something in a keli, everything that's in the keli is tummy. The lashon Mishnah is kli mitzarif, and you have to be medayik l'shoyne yazov shalom Mishnah. Said Rav Kahana, it doesn't say kli mechaber; it says kli mitzarif. Kli mechaber would mean that the only time this halach is true is if they're touching. Kli mitzarif. Again, grammar, but that suggests that they don't necessarily have to be touching. In other words, the Bnei Rav Chiya weren't sure what the halach is. Rav Kahana told them what the halach is, that if a tful yom would touch part of a mincha, the other half of the mincha, even if it's not touching, would be tummy as well. Then they asked him another shayla. They asked him, "Hoishit echad lebeinehem ma'u." What would be if somebody would stick a third part of a mincha into this klisharis? So you have a mincha, it's divided into two, it's in the klisharis where they're going to mix the mincha together with the oil, and now somebody sticks more soilus into this keli. Now that extra soilus is not part of the mincha, because you already had the shear of the mincha in the original keli. And then that extra, let's call it the third half, so to speak, became tameh. The question is, do you say the same halacha that kli mitzarif masha v'toicha l'kodesh, that it's metameh everything, even what's not touching, or no? Or malays, Rav Kahana said, here it's going to be different, because tzorech l'kli kli mitzarif, ain't tzorech l'kli, ain't kli mitzarif. The only time there's halacha that keli is mitzarif, that's what's. So the two halves of the mincha have a din to be in this keli. They're not just punked in the keli together. They have a din to be here. They're part of the same mincha. They're here so you can be mekayim the mitzvah of belila and the mitzvah of yitzika, and then take this klisharis and do your kmitza and go be mekayim the din of the mincha. Being that they're there for a purpose, it's over there the halach is that the keli has an ability to be mitzarif even though they're not touching. But if you stick a random thing into the keli, like a third half of a mincha that has no part of this mincha, over there this halach is not going to be true. They asked Rav Kahana a third question. tful yoim es etzboi beineyeh mau. What would be if a tful yoim would stick his hand into the ear space of this keli? So the same case, you have a kli shoreis that has two halves of a mincha in, and the tful yoim stuck in, he didn't touch any of the halves, but he put his hand in between the two halves. The question is he metama or is he not metama? Now if you want to think of this shaylon from a lumdis perspective, once you say that the kli is mitzarif masha v'zoich l'kodesh, so really the two pieces are touching each other. So if you stuck your hand in between the two pieces, maybe it's as if you're touching the actual mincha, right? Because being that we look at these two halves of a mincha as if they're touching each other, kli mitzaref masha betoichel lekodesh, so maybe it's as if he touched. But the point is, that was the question. The tful yoim stuck his hand into the ear space of the mincha, is it metamon or not? Amalahus, Rav Kahana knew the answer to that as well. He told him, ein lecha davash metami ma'avir, ele kli cheres bovada. Kli cheres has a chiddish that it's metama ba'aver, so if a sheretz falls into the ear space of a kli cheres, it's metama kol masha besoichel. Or if you have a kli cheres that's tamei, and something falls into the ear space of the kli cheres, that thing becomes tummy as well. But the chiddush of kol masha v'soicha yitma was stated dafka with regards to the tum of a kli cheres. Here we're dealing with the kli sharis that was used in the Beis HaMikdash for the mincha. It wasn't a kli cheres. Thus, you're not going to have this chiddush of something being tummy from the aver of the kli cheres. Says the Gemara. So after the Bnei Rav Chiya asked Rav Kahana three shaylas, and Rav Kahana knew the answer to all three shaylas. We're going to see again at the end of the daf, hashtag rest of the story, that Rav Kahana came up to Eretz Yisrael. He came with a big tumult. Shlokish famously said about Rav Kahana, "Ari Olam Mibavel." Said Bnei Rav Chiya, the firing questions at Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana showing a tremendous charifus. He was able to answer all the shaylas. But then Rav Kahana flipped it. He said, "You know, let me ask you a shayla." Says the Gemara, "Hada iu ba yimina hayu." So Rav Kahana asked Bnei Rav Chiya a question, and the question was, "Ma'u likmoitz mizel zek? Could you do kmitza on a mincha that's divided in two halves?" Meaning that was the theme of the question. You have a mincha that's divided into two halves, a chatzi chesaron and a chatzi yisaron. And Rav Kahana said, "I have a question too. If the two halves of the mincha were separated, they're not physically touching each other, but there's enough of a shear to do kmitza from one half. Is that okay? Is it not okay?" What's the question? The halach is kli mitzarif masha b'soich l'kodesh. That's what we just said with regards to tumah. So do I look at the two halves if they're connected to each other, as long as they're in the same keli? So as a result, I could do kmitza from half. It's only half. No, the kli is mitzarif or not. And the essence of that shaila was sirif dairaisa derabanan. This idea that a kli is mitzarif, it's true on a dairaisa level. If that's the case, it works even lekula. Or maybe it's only a chumra derabanan with regards to tumah. You have all these chumras. The end of Masechtas Chagiga discusses this at length. Right, this chumras with regards to tumah v'tahira in the context of kachin. So maybe this chiddush of kli mitzarif masha b'toichel l'kodesh is not the ikar adin. It's not shuana dayraisa level. It's only a chumra b'derabanan. If that's the case, maybe it's not going to work l'kula with regards to kmitza. Amrulay, they told him zulay shamanu. I can't tell you that I have a braisa or a mishnah to tell you. Exactly, I know the answer to your question. However, at the time we learned that our Mishnah, two menaches, both of which didn't have kmitza done. So you have two complete menaches. They were mixed up. Meaning, if they were completely nesarev, then you can't do kmitza. You're out. There's nothing to do with this. If only part of it was nesarev, but the part that wasn't nesarev is enough that you can do kmitza, then the halach is ksheres ve'imlav, and if not, psulis. Talk to Gemara. So the Bnei Rav Chiya said, "Ki yochel likmetz miyok ksheres." You see from here that as long as you can do kmitza, it's going to be okay. Amay yachdem arev aloy noga luchura. Doesn't it sound like you have three separate parts of these two menaches, right? The way we explained it yesterday, maybe it was after the shir, is that you have two menaches, mincha A, mincha B. And half of Mincha A and half of Mincha B went into Kli Shoreis C. So the first Kli Shoreis has half of Mincha A, the second Kli Shoreis has half of Mincha B, and the third Kli Shoreis is made up of a Taruvais of the other half of Mincha A and the other half of Mincha B. But Poshit, the way you visualize the case, it sounds like Mincha A is not together in the same Kli Shoreis, and Mincha B is not all together in the same Kli Shoreis. So what's the Mishnah saying? You could do Kmitza. Yesterday the Gemara got involved in the Lumbis of Mimba Minei Batal and the Machlokes Rav Chizkiya. Then Rav Chanina, a very super lumbish Gemara, let the Shirayim be mevatel the other mincha, make it a mincha chasera, super gishmak. But said the Bnei Rav Chiya, if there's a hava mina, that the only time you could do kmitza is if the entire mincha is touching each other, then this case is dead on arrival. How in the world could you even do kmitza in such a case? Elamai, you see from me, you don't need the entire mincha to be touching each other. But Amar Rava, Rava said, I don't think it's a raya. Dilma begushin hamechulakin, hasuyin kimisarek. Maybe it's talking about a case where Mincha A and Mincha B were touching each other, but they were only touching each other at one side. So the side that they were touching each other was Nesare. But there was another side of Mincha A and Mincha B that were not touching each other. And if what the Mishnah is saying is that if you could do Kmitza from the side that's not touching the other mincha, the side that's not nesarev, it's okay. But the point is, you have a case where mincha A and mincha B are touching each other, and they're also not touching each other. Ashenogeil in yoneinu is that the entire mincha A is by itself, and the entire mincha B is by itself. But enechinami, it could be if mincha A or mincha B wouldn't be by itself, there'd be no way in the world to do this. My habiyala, what's the bottom line? Could you do kmitza from a mincha that's not all one? Amar Rava Toshma, the tanya b'herim mimenu, it says, with regards to the halachas of kmitza, the herim mimenu bekumtza, from the word mimenu, we learn, mena mechubar shloyavi isarein b'shnei kelim v'yikmoitz. We learn from there that you can't have the mincha in two separate kelim and do kmitza that way, says the Gemara. It sounds like at the end of the day it's only in two kelim, meaning true two kelim doesn't work. So that picture of the Mishnah Daf Chav Gimel Amud Aleph, you have to delete from your mind. That doesn't work. You can't do kmitza if the mincha is in two kelim. That's for sure a mefurish b'raisa. But at the same time, the Gemara says, I think you see from this b'raisa that the two menachas don't have to be touching each other. Why? Because it sounds like the issue is if they're in separate kelim. What if they're in one keli dumya d'shnei kelim? So they're really in one keli. They're not touching each other. It sounds like from there it would be okay. So at the very least, let's be poishra of Kahana Shaila, that you see that the Kli is Mitzarif, meaning that Kli Mitzarif is a Dinda Iraisa, it's not a Dinda Rabbanon. It doesn't only work L'chumra with regards to Tumah. It's true even with regards to Kaimetz. Meaning it's only if the Mincha's in two Kalim that you can't do the Kemitza, but if it's one Kali, it does work. Amalei Abaya, but Abaya said, I don't think you have a Raya from here. Dul Mishnei Kalim Hechidami, maybe the case with the Bryce is telling me that if it's in two kalim, it doesn't work. It's talking about it was in two kalim, but the two menachas were actually touching each other. How's that possible? We're going kafiza bekava. So you had two measuring kalim. One was bigger than the other, and the smaller one was inside the big one. So what happens is on the top of the smaller one, what's in the smaller one is going to be touching what's in the outer one. So think of an outer keli and an inner keli. The outer one is bigger, the inner keli is small. The outer keli, Rashi says, held a kav, the inner one held 3/4 of a kav. So the inner one is inside the smaller one. It's a mechitza, it's two separate kelim, because part of the mincha is in the outer one, part of the mincha is in the middle one. But at the same time, being that the inner one is smaller, so the two menachas touch each other from on top. The point is, they were really touching each other in this case. And Enechinami, if you want to make a diik, that if it's one keli, it's going to be one keli where it's touching each other, says the Gemara. A trough that was used to feed Tarnagoylam, where there would be water on one side and they would put the mursin, that was the food that the Tarnagol used to eat, on the other side. It would have a very low mechitza, and as a result, the water and the mursin touched each other. Even though there's a mechitza in between, being that it's touching, that's why you would be able to do the kmitza. In other words, the Gemara thought that if there's a brisa that says that the mincha is in two kelim, you can't do the kmitza, the two things don't have to be touching. Because if the mincha all has to be touching, it has to be one solid mincha in order to do kmitza, then what's the hava mean if it's in two kelim, it's going to be okay? Of course it's not okay in two kelim. In two kelim, by definition, it's not touching. Elamai, it's only two kelim where it's not good. But if it'd be keli echadumi, the two kelim, it'd be in one kelim and not touching, it would be. So the Gemara says no. The Gemara is saying that when we say, maybe the mincha has to be touching. And if the mincha is not touching, there's nothing to talk about, you can't do the kmitza. Why do I need a brisa to tell me two kelim? Because it's a hechatimso where it's two kelim and it's touching. What's the hechatimso with the bigger measuring cup, the smaller measuring cup, whatever the case is? And Enechinami, the diik is where if it's in one keli dumya the two kelim, where it's touching, it's okay. And what's the case? The Gemara figured out what that case is also. But enachinami, it could be it has to touch. Or maybe not. That was Rav Kahana's shaila. He asked the Bnei Rav Chiya. So Rav Kahana knew the answer to the three questions that the Bnei Rav Chiya asked him, but the Bnei Rav Chiya didn't know the answer to Rav Kahana's question. They thought it was a Mishnah, then they thought it was a Braisa. Rav and Abaya discussed it. But at the end of the day, we're left with that shaila. Another shaila, boy, Rav Yirmiyah. Rav Yirmiyah is famous in Shas for asking shailas. So in a daf like this, you would expect to have any boy from Rav Yirmiyah, Tziruf Kli, V'chibur Mayim Mau. What happens? Again, you have a mincha, it was divided into two parts. So you have mincha A and mincha B. And they're in the same Kli Sharis. So we said the halacha is Kli Mitzarif Masha B'Toich L'Kodesh. It was the first halacha of the daf. Which means that if a Tful Yoyim would touch one half of the mincha, the other half of the mincha would be Tami as well. The question is, what if one of the two halves, let's call it mincha B, was connected to more flour, another chatzi isorin, a third half that was outside of the Kli Sharis. It was connected to it because there was water somehow that was touching Mincha B and Mincha C. Being that they were both touching the same body of water, that was Mechaber. The Rashi has two examples of what the case was, but let's just keep it simple. Something along those lines. And now a Tful Yoyim went and he touched one of the halves of the Mincha that are inside, he touched Mincha A. So Mincha A is attached to Mincha B. And Mincha B is attached to Mincha C because of this chibur through the mind. Do you say that or not? Tziruf Kli, the chibur, Mayim Ma'u. So yeah, Mincha and Mincha B, they're mitzuruf through the Kli. And Mincha B is mukhubet to the mind. Ki Tanan, do you see Kli mitzaref Masha B'teich L'Kodesh Hanim Milu D'Gavoy? That's only for things that are inside the Keli, Avda Roiloi. You can use Kli mitzaref Masha B'teich to then have Mincha B be mukhubet to Mincha C. Or not? I don't keep the mechuba mechuba. So let me keep the mechuba mechuba. If you get a tummy, then no, there's no reason. Everything is going to be tummy in this case. What would be in the reverse? Chibur mayim v'tziruf kli v'nogat fuyoyim yibachutz mao. What would be the same exact case? Mincha A and mincha B are both together in the keli, so the kli is mitzaref masha b'soichoy. Mincha B is attached to mincha C, which is outside the keli. Now, in the first case, Mincha A became Tommy. In the second case, Mincha C becomes Tommy. A Tful Yoyim touches Mincha C. So do you say, you touch Mincha C. Mincha C and Mincha B are attached through the Chibur of Mayim. B and A are attached because Kli Mitzarev Masha B'Soicha. You're going to have the same Sa'alacha or no? What's the Shai? Levin Tim Tzulei Mekiv Nem Chobim Mechobar. Chibur Mayim B'Tzirev Kli V'Nogal Tfuyem Yibachutz Ma. Ki Tan Kli Mitzarev Hanim V'Nogal V'Agvoy. Maybe the only time Kli Mitzarev Masha B'Soicha L'Kodesh works is where at the very least the Tumah happened inside the Keli. Avim Bivaroi. But if the Tumah happened outside the Keli, Loi, Oidam Aloi. Or maybe there's no difference. Says the Gemara, take more Gemara. By Rava, Yisarin shechilku v'nitma echad mehem a geshmak yeshayla. So it's the same principles as the previous staff, but a little bit of a lumdisha twist. What would be if you had a Nisarin, meaning the mincha was divided into two, and one half of them became tummy. Became tummy. How? I don't know. Tumas, anything. It's tummy now. V'hinichay v'bisa. And now the two halves of the mincha were put into the same Kli Sharis. So this mincha is really dead on arrival because half of the mincha was tummy even before it arrived, before it landed inside the Kli Sharis. V'chazat Tful Yoyim v'nagaba isa tummy. Now a Tful Yoyim went and he touched half. Which half? The half that had already been tummy. Mahu. What's the halacha? Do we say the other half becomes tummy or the other half does not become tummy? Again, the first shaila in today's daf, the question that Bnei Rav Chiya asked Rav Kahana when Ari was Olam Mibavel, was they wanted to know if you have a mincha which was divided into two halves, it's in a keli, a Tful Yoyim touched one half. Do you say kli mitzarif masha b'toich l'kodesh even when the two things aren't touching, or maybe only when they're touching? That was essentially their shaila. Rav Kahana said it says kli mitzarif, not kli mechaber, which means they don't have to be touching. Over here, what happened was there were two halves of a mincha, same case. They're both in the Kli Sharis. The Tful Yoyim touched one of them. We want to know if the other one's tummy. It's the same setup. The only difference is that the half of the mincha that the Tful Yoyim touched had been tummy in this case before the Tful Yoyim touched them. So what's the shaila? The shaila is once it's tummy, it can't become tummy again. So the Tful Yoyim, when he touched it, wasn't metamid. If he wasn't metamid, you don't have the halach of kli mitzarif masha b'soich l'kodesh. Or maybe no, enachinami was tummy. But being that there's a chiddush in the tumah that would be chal if we say that the Tful Yoyim could be metamid again, because now that Tful Yoyim has been metamid inside the Kli Sharis, you have the halach of kli mitzarif masha b'soich l'kodesh, which you didn't have till now. Because until now, that half had become tummy before it was
in the Kli Zaris. So do you say that the Tvoyoin has an ability to be metame l'maynaf gemina, so that the other half should be tame, or no? How can you be metame something that's already tame? That's the question. Mi Amrina, do we say Savale Tuma? It's tame. It's already satisfied. So shayzat fin Tuma. It has Tuma already. Once it has Tuma, it can't become tame again. I lie, or maybe no, or maybe Enochinami. It's Savale Tuma to a degree. It's already tame, but at the same time, maybe it has the ability to become tame again, so that you should have the halacha of kli mitzaref. Masha b'saychel lekodesh. Amalei abaya. So Abaya told Rava. He said, "Umi amina and savalei tuma, Rava. You have a hamamina to say savalei tuma. There's no such thing as savalei tuma. I'll prove to you from a mishnah that it's possible for something that's already tame to become tame again. Where's this mishnah?" Doesn't sound familiar? It's in the 27th parak of Masechtas Kelim. Says the Mishnah, Sadin Tomei, you had a Sadin, a sheet that was Tomei Medris. So we know that a Zav, a Nida, a Zava, any person that becomes Tomei because of a Dabra Yetzim Gufay or Gufa has a very special place in the halachas of Tumah V'Taira. He or she is Metame Tumas Medris. That means if she sits on something, lies on something, rides on something, it gets a special Tumah, Tumas Medris. Tumas Medris is another Tumah, so it's Metame, it's as special rules in Tumah. So what happened over here was, it was a Sadin that was Tomei Tumas Medrash. Let's say a Zav lied on this sheet. As a result, it was Tomei Tumas Medrash. Vasoy Viloy, says the Mishnah Chiddush. What happens if the owner of this Sadin decides, I don't want to use this as a sheet anymore. I'm done using it as a sheet. I want to use it now as a curtain. So it turned it into a Vilin. The Halach is Tomei Tumas Medrash. It automatically loses its Tumas Medrash. The only time the Sadin maintains its Tumas Medrash is as long as it's used as something that people would be madres on, so to speak. But once you're switching its tashmish, you're switching its usage from a sadin to now a viloin, being that there's no tumas medras on a viloin, even though it previously had tumas medras, it's going to lose its tumas medras. Avol tomei maga medras. But at the same time, it's still going to be tomei. It's going to be tumas maga. So it's not going to have tumas. That special tumas medras is not going to have, because it's not being used anymore for something that is medras. But at the same time, tumas maga, of course it's going to be tumas maga. Amar Rabbi Yossi said, be'ezen madras nogazeh. What's the tumas maga? I don't think it's going to be tumas maga. Elo, she'im noga boy hazov tomei maga zov. The only way it would be Tumas Maga, the only way it'd be Tumas Maga is if a Zav physically touched it. No, it's Machlekes Rav Yosi and Tanakam is. Tanakama holds, if something is Tumi Tumas Medrash, it's automatically Tumi Tumas Maga as well. By definition, if it's Medrash, it's also Maga. Rav Yosi said it's not necessarily true, physically. And the only time in this case, this Viloin now, which was previously a Sadin, would be Tumi Tumas Maga, is if a Zav touched it. So it would have had to have been first Medrash, that didn't give it Tumas Maga. Only afterwards, if the Zav also touched it, then in addition to the Tumas Medras, it would also be Tanakama holds no. When it became Medras, it also became Maga. But Rabbi Yosi is not that way. So Rabbi Yosi says when it was Medras, it was Medras. It wasn't Tumas Maga. Now it doesn't have Tumas Medras anymore. You want to know if it's also Tumas Maga? It would have to have been touched in the Maga way in order for it to be Tumas Maga. That's as much of this mission as we need for today's daf. Says the Gemara, Sabaya Tainit, Kinoga Beazav, Mia Tome, Vafil. Doesn't it sound like from Abaya? What's Abaya say? That if the Zav made a Tomei Tumas Medrash, and then afterwards he touched it and it became Tumas Maga, then you're going to have Tumas Maga. If he didn't touch it afterwards, it's not going to be Tumas Maga. The question is, once it's Tomei Tumas Medrash, has it become Tumas Maga? Once it's Medrash, it can't become Maga anymore. So you see clearly that something that's Medrash could be Maga. He told me, maybe where Yosi meant was, if first the Zav touched it in a Tumas Maga way, and then afterwards he lied on it in the Tumas Medrash way, that's where it would be Negeya later. If it loses its Medrash, it's still going to have that. And the reason that works is because David Tumachamura, Tumakala. Aval Hocha, but in our case, the Idividi Tumakala, we're not discussing a Tumachamura and a Tumakala. We're discussing an ordinary Tumah where, let's see, a Tfol Yom touched it, added the Klicharis, and now he touched it again inside the Klicharis. It's the same exact Tumah Loi. Then where's the Zalim? We say, maybe the rise from the Seif. If you have two sheets that are folded, they're one on top of the other, and the Zav sat on all these sheets. The top one is Tomei Tumas Medrash. Vatachtein Tumah Medrash u'Maga Medrash. This bottom one is Tomei Medrash and Maga Medrash. So you see from here that it's Chal Tumas Medrash and Maga Medrash at the same time. Vamai Leimas Avalei Tumah. If it's Chal Tumas Medrash, how could it also be Chal Tumas Maga Medrash? But again, the Gemara says that's not a Tushdel Hasam, the Vas Achas. Over there, the two things are being Chal at the same time. When the Zav sits on the upper one, everything on bottom becomes Medrash and
Naga measures. We're discussing a different case. We're discussing where it was Tomei already. It was already Savalei Tumah. You want to know if the Tumah could be Chalal Gabei Tumah. That's the question. Either way, says the Gemara, you have no Raya from here. One final Gemara. Amar Rava, Isarin Shechilku. What happens if a Kohen had a Mincha? The Isarin, that's the full Shirin, was divided into two. One half was lost. The Hifrish Achatavchtav. So now the Kohen went and he was Machfrish a third half. And the reason it was mafresh a third half is he needed for the second half, because the second half was lost. V'nimtza rishoyin. And then the one that was lost was found. V'arishlosh l'munachem b'bisa. And now you have all three, and they're all sitting in the bisa. What do you do now? Nitma avod. If the one that was avod, the one that had been previous lost, became tame, and they're all in the klisharis. As we saw in Amad Aleph, kli mitzarif masha betoicha. So then the halacha is, avod v'rishoyin mitzarif. So if the avod became tame, it's going to be Tameh, and Kli Mitzarif Masha B'Soicha L'Kodesh is going to say that the original one, again, the Rishon, is going to be the one that never got lost. The Avod is the one that got lost and has since been found. The Mufrish is the replacement. That's the third one that they brought in when one of them got lost. So you have the Rishon, the Avod, and the Mufrish. All three halves get a name. The Rishon is the original one, that he's been there from the beginning till the end. You have the Avod, that's the one that got lost. The Mufrish was the replacement. So if the Avod, the one that got lost, became Tamei, Avod, Rishon, it's Darfen. It's going to be Tamei, and the Rishon is going to be Tamei as well. Kli Mitzarif, Masha B'Soichi is going to say those two are Tamei. Mufrish, a Mitzarif. But the Mufrish, nah. Nitma Mufrish. If the Mufrish is the one that became Tameh, Mufrish for Rishon Mitzdarf, and the Mufrish and the Rishon are going to be Mitzdarf, Ovid A Mitzdarf, but the Ovid's not going to be Mitzdarf. The reason is because there's a relationship between the Rishon and the Ovid, and the Rishon and the Mufrish. Either ones technically were, could have, would have, should have been together. Originally, it was the Rishon and the Ovid, then it became the Rishon and the Mufrish, but the bottom line is there's an energy connecting those two, and therefore you have the halach of Kli Mitzarif, Masha B'Soichai. The other one is the Tzigah Kimena. As it relates to the Oven and the Mufrish, they were never supposed to be at the same time. The Mufrish is here to replace the Oven, but there's no connection between the Oven and the Mufrish. It's for that reason that Oven, that those two won't connect. But if the Avod becomes Tameh, or the Mufrish becomes Tameh, it's going to be Metama, the Rishon, as well. What if the Rishon became Tameh? Nitma Rishon, Shnei Mitzarif. And then they're both going to be Tameh, because the Rishon is connected in this halach of Kli Mitzarif, both to the Avod and to the Mufrish. Abaye, Abaye says, no. I feel a Nitma, Echameyem, Nami, Shnei Mitzarif. Doesn't matter which one becomes Tameh. Whether the Rishon becomes Tameh, the Avod becomes Tameh, or the Mufrish becomes Tameh. In all three cases, all three halves are going to be Tameh. My time, Kulu B'nei Biksa Dadadininu. Literally, they all live in the same mincha over here. But the point is, being that they're all part of the same mincha, it's not like in the case that we had in Amud Aleph, where you stuck in a third chatzi yisarim for no reason, where Rav Kahana, that was the second question they asked Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana said that whatever belongs in the keli is mitzarif. Whatever doesn't belong in the keli is not mitzarif. Over here, they all belong in the keli, says Abaya. It's true. You were never supposed to have all three at the same time. But at the end of the day, all three halves have a din to be in this keli. Thus, the halacha of Kli Mitzarif would apply to all three. Another halacha, v'chein linyan kmitza. Same is true. Same exact methodology regarding kmitza. Kametz mina avod. If the kohen did kmitza from the avod. So again, you have the rishon, the avod, and the mufrish. They're all in the same mincha. Now, nothing got lost. The keli is going. Well, something did get lost, but everything is found now. Now, nothing became tamei, I should say. And now the kohen's going, and he wants to do the kmitza. So he's going to do kmitza from one chelik of it. Kametz min ha'avod. If the kohen did kmitza from the avod, so the halach is shiara, the shirayim of the avod, the rishon, and the shirayim of the rishon an echalim. We know kmitza naktar is matter the mincha la'achila. So if you did kmitza from the avod and then you were makter it, so now the shirayim of the avod and the shirayim of the rishon you could eat, but mufresh ain't echal, because the kmitza of the avod is not matter the mufresh, because there's no connection, there's nothing binding the avod and the mufresh. Kovetz menam mufresh shiara v'rishon echal. Again, the mufresh and the rishon are connected. Avod ain't echal. Kometz min rishon. If you did kmitza from the rishon, shneim ainu nechol. Interesting. Over here, they both cannot be eaten. Why can they both not be eaten? Because we don't know if the rishon is connected to the avod or if it's connected to the mufresh. As a result, l'chumra, nothing could be eaten. Abaye, Abaye says, I feel kometz meyechem, yem shneim ainu nechol. No, we never know what's connected to what. And as a result, you can never eat anything. My time of kulunami b'nei biksa da'adadin, because they're all part of the same mincha. And being that you can't be matter
all of them, you can't be matter any of them. It's the same machloikis, Rav and Abaye. Maskel, Rav Papa said, it sounds like even according to Abaye, the shirayim today me on necholim. Abaye said that if you do kmitza from one, you can't eat the shirayim of the other two. But it sounds like in and of itself, you can. But you could dank with the koimitz, like karev, lechura, to the extent that you're not sure if which one of the other parts of the mincha is being matter, that means we don't know for sure what this koimitz is being matter. Once this koimitz is not being matter the entire mincha, so it's like a mincha chaseira on some level, you shouldn't even be able to eat its own shirayim. The Gemara is being medayik. Rav Papa thought in Abaye that from its own shirayim you could eat. It's the rest of the shirayim that you're not allowed to eat. Either way, the Gemara, maskal for Rav Yitzchak Breid Rav Mishar, she asked a similar question. The koimitz gufa hechi karev. How can you even be makriv the koimitz? Again, if you don't know exactly what this mincha is, you're looking at all three as part of this mincha, and there's some confusion as far as the mincha goes, then not only shouldn't you be able to eat the shirayim, I have a problem even before that. You shouldn't even be able to be makta the koimitz. Mara says, either way, Rav Ashi said, koimitz bedaita the koin talia. Mill says, it relates to this shayla, where there was the koimitz avud and the koimitz that they were mafresh afterwards, and you're not sure what's what. It really all depends on the mind of the koin. The koin can koimitz, aisarin can koimitz, as long as he knows in his head that there's only supposed to be an aisarin, so you never have to worry about the fact that there's a third half that you're not sure what is. As a result, it's not going to be a kmitza chseira, not on the koimitz level, not on the akhtara level, and as a result, you'll be able to eat exhale. So before we're not going to go weiter, we finished the daf, a few haris. So we'll start with a lamda shara, and we'll go from there. So yesterday's daf, and really Shabbos and Sunday's daf chav beis and daf chav gimel, the mesachtes menachis, is halachos of taruvos in the context of menachis. And the Gemara brought a machlekes, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, a machlekes that's mentioned throughout Shas, most notably when you learn the sugits of Taruvas, but really the makar of the machlekes is kachin, and that is mim b'minoi, bottle, or mim b'minoi lay bottle. Yehuda has a famous sheet in Shas, that mim b'minoi is lay bottle. Incidentally, the Chachamim that hold mim b'minoi bottle in Halacha, this is Taruvas 101, a Taruvas of mim b'minoi is actually more kuladig than a Taruvas of mim b'she'inoi minoi. And the reason is because a Taruvas of mim b'she'inoi minoi, even when you have a roiv and a miyot, the miyot is usually, with up to a certain proportion, noising tam into the roiv. As a result, you have a tam ke'ikr, and according to many Rishonim, tam ke'ikr de'raisa. When you have a taruva is a mim b'minoi, the miyot is usually not noising tam into the roiv. As a result, you never have a tam ke'ikr de'raisa. That's why in halacha, the mechaber paskins tam ke'ikr de'raisa by mim b'she'ene minoi, tam ke'ikr de'rabona by mim b'minoi. It's like if you have a suffix shishim when it comes to a taruva is of mim b'she'ene minoi, suffix de'raisa l'chumra. If you have a suffix shishim by a taruv is a mim b'minoi, it's a safik d'rabbanan l'kula. So really, but either way, that's the machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, that Rabbi Yehuda holds mim b'minoi is loy batel at all. It's more chomer than mim b'shenei minoi. It's loy batel, the Chachamim hold mim b'minoi is batel. The Gemara said, v'shneiem mikra echa darshu, that Rabbi Yehuda got his shita from a pasuk, it's the pasuk that discusses the avodah and Yom Kippur. The pasuk says the kohen gadol should take from the dam apar and the dam asar. He should mix them together. And the question is, the dam apar and the dam asar, to the extent that they're mixed, we know that the dam apar is much more than the dam asar. So the dam asar is bottled to the dam apar. So how are you even referring to it as the dam asar? So Rabbi Yehuda said, you see from here, mim b'minoi loy bottle must be because it's dam and dam. Dam is not mevatel dam. That's Rabbi Yehuda's makar to kol atayra kula mim b'minoi loy bottle. What do the rabbanon hold? The rabbanon say it's true. I mask him to the dick. Something you need to extract from this pasuk. We have to walk away with a big time yisoid in Hilchas Taruvos. But the yisoid is not mim b'minoi loy batel. The yisoid is that oilim einon mevatlin zuazu. The yisoid is that two things that have the same din, they both have a din to go on the mizbech, they can't be mevatel each other. And being that the dam apar and the dam asar are both oilim, it's for that reason that there's not going to be any bittul. The ran in the Masechtes Nedarim, daf nun deis amar aleph, and this ran is reiv ha kamus and it's reiv ha echos. So it's a big ran, both quantitatively and qualitatively. It literally takes up the entire amid. It's a very, very, very large ran. And the ran over there is discussing primarily the halacha of a dover sheyeshloi matirim, which we'll talk more about in a minute. The halach is afilu b'alafloi batal. But in the context of that ran that's discussing davar sheyesh l'matirim, the ran brings this machloikis Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. And the ran says, what's the beer in the machloikis Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim? V'shneiem mikra echa darshu. V'lochach midam apar midam asar. Rabbi Yehuda saw it one way, and the Rabbanan saw it the other way. In fact, the Gemara said on Daf Chabezim and Alf, Shabbos is Daf, we didn't learn it together. The Gemara says, why did Rabbi Yehuda see it the Rabbanan's way? And the Gemara said, Kasha. And why did the Rabbanan see it Rabbi Yehuda's way? And the Gemara said, Kasha. The Gemara left us hanging, right? It was very unclear.
clear. Like, why Rabbi Yehuda saw it his way? He took out min b'mina lo batal, and the Rabbanan took out oyu amena mevak lezu azu. What's going on over here? What's the rest of the story? Says the Ran, the Bir Madvarim is as follows. In order to have a taruvos, in order to say that a roiv could be mevak lemiyot, you need that the roiv and the miyot should be different. Two things that are different, that come together, force us to make a decision. We have to decide. How do we look at this taruvos? Do I look at it as the roiv, or do I look at it as the miyot? Do I look at it as A, or do I look at it as B? But it's all because of the fact that the two things are different that forces us to now decide. Otherwise, let everybody live happily together. You can't do that because of the fact that they're misnagdos zuazu. It's precisely because of the fact that they're so different that forces us to make a decision and forces us to go down the road of what we know is Achri Rabba Mahatis of Bittul Beroiv. Two things that are similar, to the contrary, says Duran. There's no reason for us to make a decision. If two things that are alike come together, why do we have to say Bittul? Why do we have to create this new mitzias known as Taruvas, where we have to say one is going to now be Bittul to the other? Let them live happily together. There's no reason in the world not to be able to say that. And that, says Duran, is Taruvas 101. That the whole yisoid of Taruvas is because you have two dvarim, ha-misnagdoi zu-azu, that are coming together, and that's what forces us to now... Says Duran, Rav Yehuda and the Rabbanon both thought that from v'lokach midam apar midam asor, the reason there's no Bittul over there is probably because the Dam HaPar and the Dam HaSor are not so different. And being that they're not so different, you're not forced to decide between one or the other. To the contrary, they're mechazak each other, so to speak, and therefore there's no reason to say Bittul. The question is, what's the determinant? What's so similar to them? Rav Yehuda said they're both blood. They're both physically the same. The Chachamim said they're both oilim. They both have the same malach. They both go on the Mizbeach. Meaning, Rav Yehuda felt that when you look at a taruvos, what matters is the metzias of the two things. So the more alike the things are physically, the less you have a right to say that there's a steer over here, thus there's going to be halacha bittul. The Chachamim say, I don't look at the way they are physically. That doesn't interest me. What interests me is halachically. The more they're alike halachically, that's what says there's no svara necessarily to say bittul. So Rav Yehuda said, you know what's unique about dam apar, dam asar? They're both dam. Thus, mimimini le bittul. Chachamim say, I don't care, physical, that's what matters. This is physical. This is not physical. We're not learning science. We're learning halacha. So in halacha, these are sugis and shas. Sugis and shas, we look at the halachic status. We look at the spiritual essence of these two things, not the physical essence of it. And as a result, being spiritually, they're both oilim, that's what makes them similar. Says the Ran, that the yisoid of Rabbi Yehuda is, Rabbi Yehuda ozel achar dimyoin ha'etzem. Rabbi Yehuda goes based on the Metzias, whereas the Rabbanon ahoch achar dimyoin ha'heter. They go basa dimyoin ha'heter. And that's essentially what it boils down to. But it's all predicated on this Metzias, that the only time you have halacha bittul is when you have two things that are different. They come, that's when you have bittul. And nobody argues with that. So that premise, shnei amikra echadarshu, both Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon agree with. There is absolutely no machloikis. What is the machloikis? Do you look at dimyoin ha'etzem, or do you look at dimyoin ha'heter? That's the question. Rabbi Yehuda was halach basa dimyoin ha'etzem. The Rabbanon was halach achim dimyoin ha'heter. But when it comes to two things that are mim b'minoi, there the Ran says l'shoynis to the contrary. Then you don't have to worry about it. It's hard to find the Ran here. But says the Ran, there each one is mechazik each other, and as a result, you're not going to have the halacha of bittul. Now, that's a beautiful Ran. Here, Nidarm Daf Mbez of an Aleph. But in light of yesterday's Daf, it's not so partial this Ran anymore. Because what we saw in yesterday's Daf, what was the whole Daf? Machloikis Rav Chilkiah, not going to chaz the whole Daf. But what was the whole Daf? From the beginning. Take it from the Daf. No, but what was the Daf? Machloikis Rav Chilkiah and Rav Chanina. And the Machloikis was that even Rav Yehuda that holds Mimba Mine Loi Batal, it's not enough that they're physically the same. There's two boxes that need to be checked off. Number one, are they Mimba Mine? Dimnyan Ha'etzen. But there was a second box. What was the second box that had to be checked off? You have to make sure that halachically you can bridge the two things. So Nevela and Shchuta could be bridged because Nevela could become Shchuta. Once it's not Roy Lachilas Ger anymore, it doesn't have a din Nevela anymore. Or a Mincha could become Koimetz or Shirayim. Because once you do Kmitza from the Mincha, you'll have Koimetz, you'll have Shirayim. So if the two things are A, Dimyana Etzem, and B, there's on some halachic level, even though right now they're different, but they can become, it's only then that Rabbi Yehuda said as halacha. If that's the case, this Ran is a very
oversimplification of Shittas Rabbi Yehuda. It's not true Rabbi Yehuda only goes Basa Dimyon Hetzer. Rabbi Yehuda takes the Dimyon Hetzer into consideration as well. Now, two things. Number one, okay, it's not a problem. Number two, the Gemara, Rav Chizr, Rav Chanina, really was saying their halach in Rav Chia. It's before in the Gemara, they were saying Rav Chia who went Peshittas Rabbi Yehuda. So I don't know if it's Muchach that it's true in Rabbi Yehuda. It could be it's true in Rav Chia, the Maskonas HaGemara, Nafchav Gimel Amadeus. We have to go through the Gemara a little bit better, but it sounded like it was more in Rav Chia who went Peshittas Rabbi Yehuda than it was in Rabbi Yehuda as well. But either way, this is a very important Ran. But really, the punchline of the Ran, and the part of the Ran that's quoted throughout Shas, is the next part of the Ran. Says the Ran, with this Hanocha, which Hanocha? That the only time you say Taruvos is when you have a mixture of two things that are Misnagdos Zuazu. That forces us to decide between A or B. But two things that are the same, you don't have the Halacha of Bittul Biroiv. Says the Ran, I could explain to you the idea of Dova Sheyesh Lematir. So we know that not every time two things come together in a Taruvos do you say Bittul Biroiv. There are many exceptions to the rule. Dova Sheb Minyan, Chatich Shen Ruyu Leschabit. One of the Halachas where you don't say Bittul Biroiv is a Dova Sheyesh Lematir. So anything that's Usur now, but something can happen that will make it mutter at some point in the future, you don't say the halacha of bittul b'roiv. Now, what's pashup shad in Dova Sheyesh Lematir? Rashi Masechtas Beis, Daf Gimel Amud Beis, very good. Rashi says a lashon that ad she teichlenu be'iser, teichlenu be'heter. You want to Dova Sheyesh Lematir as mutter, because why should we lie on bittul b'roiv? It's very nice to have a bittul b'roiv. But at the end of the day, you still have a davar aser in this taruvos. So why should I rely on, if I don't have a choice, this is Dover Aser is always going to be Aser. So the only way for me to ever benefit from it is through Bittul. Okay, so now we're going to say Bittul Baroi. But being that it's a Dover Sheyesh Lematirin, that's something that can happen in the future. Like the sugis there of Mukta, which after Shabbos, after Yontif, will be Mutter. So Abayish and all the Yontif. Why should I eat it now on Yontif? We'll eat it afterwards. The point is that something that will be mutter, there's no reason to rely on this bidyeved known as bittul b'roiv. But the Ran says a different shot. Says the Ran, you want to know what the vart is? It's this you say. Because the only time you say bittul b'roiv is when two things are very, very different. Let's think in Shitas Chachamim. What does different mean? They have to be different in terms of iser v'heter. Because two oilim are not mevatel zuzu. Because they're too similar. Why is every taruvos made up of two things that are different? Because one is a davar aser, and the other one is a davar mutter. Says the Ran, if the davar aser is a davar sheyesh lematirin, it's going to become mutter. It's not different enough than the davar mutter for me to say bittul. Different means aser always going to be aser, mutter always going to be mutter. But to the extent that it's a davar sheyesh lematirin, and it's possible for the davar aser to switch teams at some point, it can now become mutter. We're not different enough. We need to be different in a very fundamental way, in a very meaningful way. So much so that it's aser and in my material, in order for us to have this hisnagdus, in order to be able to have the bittul b'roiv. Just end this lumdisha part of the daf with something interesting, and that is just one ha'ara on Rashi, one ha'ara on the Ran. As it relates to the Ran, let's work backwards. So the Ran says that Dovash Yeshle Matirim, you don't have the halacha bittul b'roiv. Why not? Because the Dovash Yeshle Matirim is going to be mutter, and when it's going to be mutter, it's going to be like the mevatel, and you need the two things to be different to the point that they're always going to be different in order to be able to say a bittul b'roiv. But really, it's all predicated on this Ran's yisoid, that there's a fundamental difference between the taruvos of mim b'mina, mim b'she'enoi mina, however you define mim b'mina. Rabbi Yehuda does it his way, the Chacham does it his way, because the taruvos needs to be two things that are misnagged each other. Otherwise, to the contrary, there's no taruvos. The two things are actually mechazik each other. So I saw a ha'ara, and if you think about it, it's a good ha'ara, that the Ran's svara makes much more sense in the taruvos of lach balach. But how do you understand the Ran Sfar and taruvos of yavish biyavish? I mean, if I have a taruvos of lach balach, where two things are literally in the same mixture, you take the dam apar, the dam asar, you literally mix them together. The two menachos were literally nesarev together. So if the two things are different, so then you have to make a decision. What is it? If the two things are the same, they're mechazik each other, like the Ran says. But in taruvos yavish biyavish, does it make sense, the Ran svara, that in taruvos yavish biyavish, you have two hamburgers, you're just not sure which one is which? So what, the two are mechazik each other? There's no stira. When you make one from two, so you have to decide, what's the one that I made? Were they mechazik each other? I just have more of it? Or no? Now I have to make a decision. Is it A or is it B? But in a taruvos yavish biyavish, L'chura, where does the Ran Svara play out? As it relates to Rashi, the Rashi says, "Acha teichlenu be'iser, teichlenu be'heter." Why is it Teichlana Be'Isser? Rashi is assuming that if I have a Taruvus right now of Issa Ve'Heter, so if I eat it now, I'm eating a Be'Isser. Why is it? Why, I'm not eating a Be'Isser. Bittul Be'Roiv is Isser? Anaya Ma'Issa? Well, why is that Isser? Rashi's law. How do you understand Rashi's lashon? Ancha Teichlanu Be'Isser, Isser, Teichlanu Be'Isser, wait until tomorrow, then it's going to be Mutter. And today, it's Osir? No, it's not. It's not Osir. There's no Bal Nefesh Yachmer when it comes to eating a Taruvus of Issa Ve'Heter. What? You have to be from the Katchila and be Machmer? I thought it was Mutter. I mean, what, the whole taruva is only, it's a b'di'evid, really, eating a davar aser, but it's nitcha somehow, the iser? No, that's the loch of Raif. So Raif tells me, that, okay, there's a din eim mevaklin is sol katchila, that's pashtus, the Rabbanan, the Rajba brings a raiv in him, sechtes chulin, that the shach actually brings, that maybe it's the raisa, but that's a das yochid. Eim mevaklin is sol katchila, a din the Rabbanan. But what's the problem? L'chur, if I have a taruva is, and there's a bit of a roiv, and roiv's a real din, roiv's deraisa. So what should be the issue? So I saw a ha'ara that maybe a good sushtel to this ran, it's a little wild, but maybe a good sushtel to this ran is the rush from the sugi of Takfu Kain. So remember the sugi of Takfu Kain, the Gemara discusses kafats echem and amenuyim, so one of the animals that already went tachas ha'shevet, kibakoras roya edroi, mavritzayinu tachas shivdai, and I would jump back into to the herd with all the other animals. So halacha is everything gets knocked out. Why is it getting knocked out? Because once you count something, you can't use it for the minyan asiri anymore. Asiri vadi amarachman of le'asiri, so entices and the rush and the sheet, everybody asks takasha. What do you mean? Let that one sheep that was min ha-menuyim be bottled to the other sheep that are not min ha-menuyim and say bittul b'roiv. And the Rosh famously says that enechi nami des halacha bittul b'roiv. But bittul b'roiv doesn't make vadai. And as a result, asiri vadai yom rachmano v'loy asiri safik, and being that by ma'aser behemo you need vadai, it's also a kachem nigah halacha. You need vadai, and being that there's halacha vadai, roiv can't give me vadai. So you see that as much as roiv works in the context of taruvos, but you see it can't create asiri vadai. So to the degree that it's not vadai, that's where you have the tzad of avivai. Let's use yeshiva terminology. Avivai, it's not vadai. Oh, to dart. Yeah. Okay. Sorry. Over there, that's where. Yeah. It's over there. No, that's the tzad iser. The tzad iser is manifest where it's not vada. So you have a tzad. Either way, that is the first aura. The second aura is the Gemara began with Kisalik Rav Kahana. So Rav Kahana came from Bavel Tarez Yisrael. He met the Bnei Rav Chia. The Bnei Rav Chia asked Rav Kahana three shailas in the Sechtes Menachos. Rav Kahana knew the answer to all three. Then Rav Kahana asked Bnei Rav Chia shailah Masechtes Menachos. The Bnei Rav Chia didn't know the answer to Rav Kahana shailah. Regardless, so the Gemara just mentions fleetingly Kisalik Rav Kahana, where Rav Kahana came from Bavel Teretz Yisrael. The truth is that there is the rest of the story, and it's a Gemara Masechtes Bava Kama from all places. The very end of Masechtes Bava Kama, very well known Gemara, Daf Kuf Yud Zayin Amid Aleph. The Gemara over there is discussing the halachas of a Moiser. Those are sugis in the end of Masechtes Bava Kama. The laws of Moiser are mentioned in the end of Bava Kama. And the Gemara there tells a story. There was a person, a Yid, that wanted a maser on his friend. He came to Rav, and he asked Rav, is it okay for me to be a Moiser? Amalek, so Rav told him, no, it's not okay. Lo tachve, v'lo tachve. Don't do it. Amalek, so this Yid was a mechotzef, and he told Rav, machvino, machvino. No. Lo tachve. Machvino, machvino. I'm going to show the government where this person is hiding his heaven. I'm going to be a moiser. Yes, Rav Kahana came to Rav. Rav had a Talmud whose name was Kahan. Rav Kahana was sitting next to Rav, and he saw the way this person spoke to his Rebbe Rav. Shamte l'koyemine. He killed him, in short. Kari Ravi Lavei. So Rav quoted a pasuk in Yeshaya. Bottom line is he told Rav Kahana, you were right for killing him. Because a moiser can lead to shvichas damim, and he was putting this Yid's life at risk, thus he had a din of a roidev. You had absolutely every right to kill him. Stating that, Rav told Rav Kahana that as much as you had a right to do what you did, but at the same time, once word gets out that you killed somebody, your life is going to be at risk. And as a result, I highly recommend that you pack your bags, you go to exile, you leave Bavel, you have to go somewhere. So he said, where should I go? He told him, Kun sak l'arid Yisrael, go to Eretz Yisrael. But when you're in Eretz Yisrael, kabel aloch, the loy takshu l'Rabbi Yechonin shveshnin. You should go to Rabbi Yechonin's yeshiva, and you should learn Torah from Rabbi Yechonin, but be mekabel on yourself that you're not going to ask Rabbi Yechonin any questions in learning. So you're going to listen to Rabbi Yechonin share, and you're going to have an oriz that you're going to want to shtel to, but at the same time, control yourself, don't do it. Now, why did he have to do that? So clearly he needed some sort of kapara. Pashim said he needed kapara for killing this moiser, as much as he had a right to do it, but on some level, he needed kapara. The Marsha says the reason he needed kapara is because he was a moir alacha b'fnei rabbi. And a moir alacha b'fnei rabbi is chayv misavdei shemayim, shmul, eli, chana. So he needed kapara for being moir alacha. He jumped the gun. Really, it was Rav's job to kill this person if he wanted to, not Rav Kahana's job. Says the Marsha, he was a moir alacha b'fnei rabbi for jumping the gun. Pun intended, and as a result, he needed kapara. His kapara was, don't talk in learning. Ben Yoyada says that, how's that a kapara? I mean, if he needs kapara for shvichas domim, certainly according to the first pshat, how does this match? He says, because for a Talmud Chacham who's listening to a shir and he has something that he wants to say and he can't talk, it's kemisa chashuva. Either way, says the Gemara. Also, so Rav Kahana goes up there to Israel. He goes straight to Rabbi Yochanan's yeshiva. And when he shows up, he's in the chatzah there and he sees that Rish Lakish was saying over shir, the ka yasiv, the kamasayim, the sifted the yam of the rabban, he was saying over Rabbi Yochanan's shir to the Talmud. Amalahu. So Rav Kahana knew of Rabbi Yochanan's famous Talmud Rish Lakish. So he asked one of the Talmudim, he says, tell me, where could I find Rish Lakish? So he points, oh, you see that yid who's saying over shir? That's Rish Lakish. So he goes over to Rish Lakish and he says, can I listen in? He says, of course. So Rish Lakish is saying over Rabbi Yochanan's shir, and everything Rish Lakish said, Rabbi Kahana went, Amalu, hay kushiva, hay kushiva, hay perukava, hay perukava. Rish Lakish was there. He never met such a London. He couldn't believe it. Amalu, Rish Lakish. So, Oza, Rish Lakish, Amalu, Rish. So, next day, Rish Lakish goes to Rabbi Yochanan and he said, well, you know, so somebody came from some distant land. He just showed up and he's not shayach in learning. He said, Ari, Ola, mi bavel. La, I am marbe, mi sif to a macher. Make sure if he comes to Shia tomorrow, you give him covid, sit him oivenun, give him mizrach, make sure that he gets the respect that he deserves. So next day, Rav Kahana shows up to Rav Yechon's yeshiva. They put him literally mizrach. He's sitting next to Rav Yechon. And Rav Yechon appears here and he keeps on looking at Rav Kahana. He wants the era aura. But Rav Kahana had already taken an oath. He had told Rav that he would sit in Rabbi Yochanan's shir and he wouldn't ask any kashas. He was able to talk to Rish Lakish and learning, but not to Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara says, Amash Shmaitz, Rabbi Yochanan said, Allah of lo yakshi. Kind of didn't say anything. Shmaitz, he said another Allah of lo akshi. Didn't ask him anything. He said over seven halachas. Each halacha, he looked at Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana had nothing to say, ostensibly. And as a result, Rav Kahana had to move back another row. Ad Isu B'dar Basu. There were seven rows in Rabbi Yochanan's yeshiva. And he was now sitting on the seventh row. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan turns to Rish Lakish and he tells him, Arisha Omarta, that Ari that you said was Olim Mibavel, Nasir Shul. It's not an Ari, he's a Shul. Omar. So Rav Kahana hears all this and he was embarrassed. He turns to Hashem and he says a tefillah, Yehei Ravo, Dahani Shve Dori, that the seven rows that I had to go back, the busha that I endure, when Rabbi Yochanan publicly made me go back a row and a row and a row, should be chilush vashon in damali rav. It should be a tmura, the 7 years of exile that I need to be. So the Gemara says, Rav Kahana must have felt that his tefillah was answered. So the Gemara says, I don't know how he knew his tefillah was answered, but he must have felt that. Come akare, Rav Kahana got up and he goes up to Rabbi Yochanan and he says, Rebbe, can you please repeat shir? So the Gemara says, Nahadar mar bereisha, fangim fanum fang, amar, shmaitza. So Rabbi Yochanan said, Alocha va'akshi, and Rav Kahana started ripping it apart. Ukun v'dar kami moved him up a row. Amar shmaitza, akshi, and he kept on till finally he was in. Rabbi Yochanan was so impressed. He was mesmerized. And Rabbi Yochanan got up. But Rabbi Yochanan had very long eyelashes. He couldn't see. So he asked his Gaboyim, can you please, I want to be able to see this yet. So the Gemara says, Dolu einev echse. Rabbi Yochanan looks at Rav Kahana, and apparently Rav Kahana had once had a wound on his lip. And as well, if you looked at Rav Kahana, it always looked like he was smiling. And Rabbi Yochanan, when he saw Rav Kahana, thought that Rav Kahana was smiling at him. And he thought he was mocking him. Like, you're the great Rabbi Yochanan? I just came to your shir, and I was able to frag up everything in your shir. The Gemara says, Cholesh daiti, Rabbi Yochanan, Chalish Zadas, Venoch Nafshe. And the great Rabbi Yochanan passed away. Lamachar, the next day, Rav Kahana passed away. Lamachar, Amul Rabbi Yochanan Rabbanon, Rabbi Yochanan told Rabbanon, Chazisu Lubavlo, Hechi Ovid, he went and he told everybody, you see, what goes on? This big landing comes from Bavel, and he made Chazik from me. So he said, what are you talking about? He said, I saw him and he was smiling. He says, no, Darkei Hachi, that's the way he looks. He's always smiling. That's his disposition. That's who he is. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan realized what had happened. And Rabbi Yochanan's Chalisha Sadas had caused Rav Kahana to die, and it was all a mistake. So the Gemara says Rav Yochanan went to the Ma'ara of Rav Kahana. He saw there was a nachash by his cave. Bottom line is, the Gemara says he ends up being Mechaya Mason, Rav Yochanan does. Rav Kahana comes back to life. And then he says, maybe you want to come back to my share. Rav Kahana said, maybe it's not such a good idea. But the bottom line is, that is pretty much the rest of the story as it relates to exactly. That come Rav Shachal. That's the story over here. With Rav Kahana, Rav Yochanan, so we have a Gemara where the Gemara says, Kisolik Rav Kahana. This is the rest of the story. Rav Kahana came, Ari Olami Bavel, Shul Olami Bavel, the Maisu with Rav Yochanan, Rav Kahana. So just to digress from our digression for one moment, it's just one Ha'ara. So it's a fascinating Gemara. When we learn Masechtas, Bava Kama, Daf Kuf Yedzai, we spoke at Raid on this, but Ein Beis Medrash B'Loi Chiddush. I'll tell you a Dover Chodosh that I saw, and that is in the Sefer Yad Malachi. So the Yad Malachi, like the Chavis Yor, right? There's different Svarim where they have Klolim in Shas when it comes to Pesach. So we like going through some of these Klolim. And the Yad Malachi, it's in Klal Resh. It's Ois, I have it printed out, but it's Ois Tof Kuf Nun Zayin, I believe, 557. And he's discussing over there the idea, which is really a Mefurish Gemara, a Gemara in the Masechtas Hayris, where the Gemara discusses Sinai Va'oikir Harim. Which one is Adif? The Sinai is the person that's considered the big baki. The Oikir Harim is the great Salamdin. Sinai Va'oikir Harim, Ezem Em Koyb. And the Gemara says that Pligiba, Rab Shimon, Rabba Chadam Asinai Yadav, Chadam Oikir Harim Hadav. Rab Yosef, the Gemara says, was a Sinai. Rabba, the Gemara says, was an Oikir Harim. Shochul, the Taman, Ezem Em Koyb. Shochul, they said Sinai Yadav. That the Sinai is other than the Oikir Harim. Taisvis, Mesechtes Erevin, Daf Memam Ralph says, whenever there's Machlaik between Rav Sheshes and Rav Chizda, the Allah is like Rav Sheshes, not like Rav Chizda. Why? Because the Gemara says also Masechtas Erevin that Rav Sheshes was a major baki and Rav Chizda was a major lamdan, and that's why Kipagabu Rav Sheshes Rav Chizda. So Rav Sheshes was always afraid to talk to Rav Chizda learning because he knew he was going to say some super duper lamdas. Rav Chizda was always afraid to talk to Rav Sheshes and learning because he was going to have a Yerushalmi somewhere that to frag him up. So Rav Chizda Rav Sheshes, they're always afraid to talk to each other and learning. Rav Sheshes was the baki, Rav Chizda was the lamdan. So Tais over there is discussing the Gemara Masechtas Erevin, and Tais not sure what the Allah is. So Tais says, I'll tell you, in the Gemara there's no raya who the Allah is like. But I know from Shas that Rav Sheshes was a Sinai and Rav Chizda was an Oikar Harim. And I know the Gemara, end of Hayris, Daf Yud Aleph and Aleph, that Sinai for Oikar Harim, Sinai Adif. So as a result, the Halacha is going to be like Rav Sheshes, the Halacha is not going to be like Rav Chizda. So that's the theme, that's the backdrop of what the Yad Malachi is discussing. And he brings other examples of this, that the Halacha was always like the Baki, and the Halacha was not like the Lamdin. Meaning, the grace of Lamdin, as much as he can make the most noise in Beis Medrash, but when it comes to Halacha L'maisa Tachlis, the Messiah in Klal Yisrael never followed the biggest Lamdin. It followed more the Sinai than it followed the Oikar Harim. One of the rayas he brings is from Rav Meir. The Gemara says in Masechtas Sanhedrin, Daf Chav Dal Ramad Aleph, that Kol Aroya Rav Meir BeBeis Medrash, Ki'ilu Oikar, not Harim, Hare Harim. So I'm not sure exactly what that means. But he wasn't just an Oikar Harim. He was an Oikar Hare Harim. Yeah, exactly. He wasn't just a Lamdan. Super Lamdan, right? That's probably what it means. Ki'ilu Haikar Hare Harim. That was Rav Meir. Stating that, everyone knows a Gemara Masechtas Erevin, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, Maru Deh is talking about Rav Meir. Rav Meir, Rav Nuroi, Shemeir, Eni Chachamim Bahalacha, right? All the different beautiful agadas the Gemara about Rav Meir. And at the end of the day, the Gemara says the Halacha is not like Rav Meir. Says the Gemara, Amarab Achabar Chanina, Golu Viadul of Name Yisham Abahoya Oila, Shein Bedoirish Rav Meir Kemoisai. There was no one in the entire door like Rav Meir. So why wasn't Halacha like Rav Meir? You know what? Because he was too big of a lamdan. It's precisely because he was an Oikar Hari Harim. Amazing. That's why the Halacha is not like him. Rav Meir could have came and he could have told you why a Dover Tamei is Tahar and why a Dover Tahar is Tamei. Dimar says there's a story with Sumchis, who was Talmidei Rav Meir, Kiyadua, right? Sumchis is buried next to Rav Meir in Tver. Right? So he also had the same Kayach, but Rav Meir was an Oikar Hari Harim. And Fakir, that's good for why read the Gemara. If he was the biggest lamdan in the door, why don't we follow Rav Meir? It's because he was too much of a lamdan. His Talmid couldn't understand it. He quotes the Gemara Masechtas Sanhedrin, where the Gemara says Rish Lakish was also a phenomenal Oikar Harim. But the Halacha is never like Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish is also an Oikar Harim, and the Halacha never follows him. Who does the Halacha follow? It follows Rabbi Yechanan.
Labar Miklas, the Gemara in the beginning, Parak HaChayletz, by Chalitas Mubaris, but the halacha Mishnah doesn't follow Rish Lakish. Why? Because he was a Noika Hari Harim. And the halacha doesn't follow. The obvious Sushtel that he doesn't be a Shami Beisil. Beshami Beisil, that's the Gemara in the end of the first Parak of Masechtas Yevamos, where the Gemara tells the story with the Talmidim of Beisil. They went to talk and learning to Daisa ben Hurkinis, who was from the Talmidim of Beishami, and they were discussing the first Mishnah of Masechtas Yevamos. Chamneches Rein Nashim Poichus Sarisem, Vesaris Sarisem, and Chalitz Ben Alyum, also known as Tsaras Erva. And they were discussing that halacha, and the Gemara says that Daisa ben Hurkinis, he wiped the floors with the Talmid of Beisil. He proved them this way and that way. He was Mevayish them. At the end, he said, he told Rabbi Akiva, you're the Akiva, you're the Rabbi Akiva, you're Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. And he was mocking them. And it's Mavur in that Gemara that really the Talmidim of Beis Shammai were much more Charif than the Talmidim of Beis Hillel. So why is the halacha like this? Because the halacha doesn't follow Iker Harim. It's very nice that big alam donim, they could ask all the great kashas in the world. But at the end of the day, there's a certain Mesaira, and the Mesaira followed more the Sinai than it did the Iker Harim. Fascinating idea. And in this Gemara in Erevin, it's Mavur a Knech, that it's precisely because they were such Iker Harim. In fact, Rabbi Chanan says that the reason the halacha is like Bissol of Mishamai is because of Lo Yachlu Chavei Rolam and Asayv Daiti, like the Gemara says in Erevin, Yud Gimel Amud Beis. And he says, that's why, Glossed Lavoi. That's why Lasa Lavoi, when Mashiach is going to come, the halacha is going to be like Beis Shammai. Because then it's going to be a Mal Aretz day, and we will be able to be Omer Al Soif Daitoi Shel. We will be able to be Omer Al Soif Beis Shammai. That's why the halacha is going to be like Beis Shammai. Says the Yad Malachi, Teich Dvarav. He says, I'll bring you another Raya. And this is beautiful. He says that there's a Gemara Mesachtes Bava Kama, Daf Kuf Yezayin Amaral. The Gemara says, Rav Kahana met Rav Yechana. And they started talking and learning. And Rav Yechana was giving shir, and Rav Kahana was asking kashas to the point that Rav Yechanan Chalish Sadas, it's an amazing story. Ari Alami Bavel. Rav Kahana seemed to have been a bigger lamdan than Rav Yechanan. Now, Rav Kahana was a Talmud of who? Rav. That's how the Gemara started. If Rav Kahana was a bigger lamdan than Rav Yechanan, says the Yad Malach, he says it b'shem the Chavis Yar. I couldn't find it inside in the Chavis Yar. He brings the Chavis Yar, Daft Tzadik Gimel. I think he means the Chavis Yar, Simon Tzadik Dal. That's the Chavis Yar that we always speak out. We go through all the Kol Yashas. It's very, very long. It's probably there somewhere. I just personally couldn't find it. But anyway, so he says that if Rav Kahana was a bigger lamdan than Rav Yechanan, then Rav Kahana's Rabbi was certainly a bigger lamdan. Yeah, Rav Yechanan, Allah is always like Rav Yechanan. Where's that Gemara? Also, Beya Daft Gimel. But anyways, we're coming full circle. So the halacha is always like Rav Yechanan over like the halacha is always like Rav Kahana. The halacha is like Rav Yechanan over Rav. What's going on over here? Even Rav's Talmud, Rav Kahana, is a bigger lamdan than Rav Yechanan. You know what the teretz is? The halacha doesn't follow the Iker Harim. And being the halacha doesn't follow the Iker Harim, that's why just another thing. Hafeichba vafeichba the kuluban akamara bavakamukuf yedzayin, which somehow relates to Menachis Tavchav Dalit.